and you are feeling a bit nostalgic. All of a sudden, some things begin to flood your mind and things begin to change. And so that was one of these Sundays this morning. I'm going to ask if you'll turn this fan off over my head. I thought that that was the signal, but turn this off for me. That'll help me out. This was one of those Sunday mornings. I woke up having gone to sleep last night and was settled in what was going to happen today for us on Sunday morning. And I woke up this morning and my wife spoke to me and we shared this morning. And all of a sudden, things started rushing to me. And by the time I got out of the shower this morning, I had to look at her and laugh. And she said, "What's funny?" And I said, "Now I have a completely different message than the one I had intended to preach this morning." And she just looked at me and rolled her eyes and kept on doing what she was doing. But that's where we are. And so this morning, I want to be real candid and share some things. And let me tell you how we get to where we are today. So everybody knows I am a father, and I love being a father, and I love my children. For those who don't know, I have two. Amen. I have a daughter who is the apple of my eye. She is 23 years old, almost at the age where she's going to get one hand out of my pocket. She probably gonna have another one in there, but she'll have one hand. But we've been blessed, and I've been blessed to watch her grow and mature for 23 years. And we have another child. We have the one who is the fifth in the line of Meredith Griffins. And he is our son, who will be 20 years old in September. And so I've had the blessed pleasure to watch him grow as well. And so when you get to about this point, and I know that there are fathers, and probably because Mother's Day was just a month ago, mothers who can attest to this same thing. You get to a certain point in the development of your children. And the development of your children, we also have to come to understand, is our development as well. Amen. Amen. Any new parents in here, anybody who had all your kids are under five, raise your hand. Amen. All your kids are under 10, raise your hand. All your kids are still in your house, raise your hand. Amen. Yeah, if they're in your house, they're in your pocket. That's how it goes. I asked that question because I can remember back 23 years ago. I can remember when I got the call from Pastor Doris, and I was at work, and she had gone to have a routine stress test. She had been dealing with some preeclampsia, and she had gone to the doctor or the hospital in order to have this stress test done. And it was routine. They'd been doing it because they were monitoring her blood pressure. And I'll never forget, I had been doing some stuff around the new home that we had just purchased. I was trying to make sure that everything was ready for this baby that was going to be coming in about 3 weeks. Everybody say 3 weeks. And I get this call while I'm working as a fund accountant for PFPC. I get this call from my wife, and she says, "Boo, they're not going to let me go home. They said they're going to induce labor right now." Now, I need you to understand, I try my level best to be the coolest man on earth. I really do. I try to live by the adage that's in that Dial deodorant commercial where they say never let them see you sweat. But I can tell you that in the moment that she told me they were not going to let her come home and that they were going to induce labor right then, it was everything in me not to bust out in tears. But I was at work. And so I ran to the hospital. No, check that. I ran home and got the bag. Secure the bag. I ran home and got the bag and then went to the hospital. And for the next 14 hours, we make sure we remind Rolanda about that every time, Mother's Day. For the next 14 hours, I held her hand and said, everything's going to be all right until Rolanda was born. And then I remember having to rush home, because understand, hear what I'm trying to say, I wasn't ready. I think the crib may have been together, but the room wasn't painted. Because I was expecting that I had about 3 weeks left. And so I ran and I made sure that the room got painted. So you got to understand, Rolanda may be a bit the way she is right now because she inhaled paint fumes as a young child, because, you know, my wife got like 24 hours in the hospital, literally, and it was on your way home. And I'll never forget holding her. Now, y'all need to understand, I was kind of corny at this point. And I had this scene that I'd always said I was going to enact when I had my children. How many of y'all saw Roots? Y'all know what scene I'm talking about then, right? I took that girl, walked outside in the backyard in my house on West 21st Street, held her up to the sky, and I said, behold. But I wasn't ready. And stuff started changing. Sleep patterns disrupted, and I could see that my wife needed help, but there wasn't really anything I could do to help. So I offered to do whatever I could do. If you can get milk from you in a bottle, then you can go to sleep and I can do what needs to be done. If you just rest for a moment, maybe I can just walk around with her and make sure that she is comforted. I will do stuff like changing diapers. I don't know how to do it, but we gonna make it work. Do they have directions on the box? By the time ML came around, we were pros. I knew how to hold a baby right here in one arm and eat with the other hand at the same time. I was good. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? It came naturally. This morning, all of these memories came flooding back. Memories that some are 23 years old and some a bit more fresh. And I had to ask myself, if I could stand this morning and have a real conversation with men who are fathers like I am, who have children who are either grown and gone and now they are grandparents, or men who are at the other end of the spectrum and are holding newborns of their own, what would I say? And that's why we got a different message this morning than we were going to have initially. I want to read to you just three verses of scripture, and they're going to be our jumping off point this morning as we talk about the roles and rewards of fatherhood. I'm going to begin in Psalm 127. I'm going to start reading at verse number 3, and I'm going to read verses 3, 4, and 5, which if you open a Bible, you'll see is the end of the psalm. Before I get to verse number 3, hold that right there. I want to begin at verse number 1 because I think that this also is vitally important for us as dads to understand. And since we're going to be dedicating a baby later on today, I think that this is appropriate. It's appropriate whether you're a mother or a father. It's appropriate whether you have children who are grown or you are at the other end of the spectrum and just beginning. It's appropriate whether you're single with a desire to be married or are married and trying to get your household right. Verse number one in Psalm 127 says this. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And then jump down to verse number three. And at verse number three, the psalmist begins there saying these things. He says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. He says, then blessed is the man. I'm a blessed man. I'm blessed not only because I am here, but I am blessed because I've had opportunity to watch my children grow. Now, I'm gonna be real candid this morning. They say confession is good for the soul, bad for the reputation from time to time, but good for the soul. You're gonna hear some real talk from me today. I want to begin with this statement. Fatherhood is a blessing from God that comes with both rewards and responsibilities. I'll say it again. Fatherhood is a blessing from God that comes with both responsibilities and with rewards. I want to talk first about the responsibilities of fatherhood. Now, I already shared what it was like when I became a father. And what I'm talking about in that moment, but let me back up for just a bit. I'm a reader, love to read. So when we got the unofficial and then official news that I was about to be a daddy, the first place I went was the bookstore. And I need you to know, there's this book that ought to be called The Baby Bible. It was What to Expect When You're Expecting. Now, my wife wasn't really, she was feeling it, so she didn't really have to read, but I wasn't feeling it, so I needed to know, and I needed to be able to help her out sometimes to let you know, now this is what's going on with you. And she'd look at me like, Negro, if you don't get out my face. You trying to tell me what's going on with me? I'm like, but yeah, it's right here on page. Because I wanted to be ready. I wanted to be the best daddy in the world. I wanted to be the kind of dad that I saw my dad was to me. Now, I never had a conversation with him about how ready he was to be a father, but I know the kind of father that he was. And since by this time he's already gone on to glory, to his eternal reward, I don't have the opportunity to ask him. So I am reading everything that I can, because not only do I want to be a good dad, but I want to make my dad proud. I want to be responsible. And I understood that my dad, just like his dad before him, and all my uncles that I could watch and see, they had a mode of operation when it came to being a daddy. And so I said to myself, not necessarily to my wife, but I said to myself, I'm going to be that kind of man. I know I'm not the only one. Because most of the time we get our clues, hear me, about what to do or what not to do from the people who are around us. And so if in some way, great or small, you look at the people and you say they did some stuff that I think is all right, that's going to be the kind of thing you emulate in your own fatherhood. But if you look at some things and you say, oh, I would never, then those will be the things that you toss. But the first thing I understood was that as a father, I had the responsibility to love and care for my children. To love them and to care for them. I'm gonna stop here. I'm gonna give this caveat and then I'm gonna move on. That right there is an entire series of sermons. Let me tell you why. Because you have to have the right understanding of what love and care look like. I told you confession is good for the soul. Bad for the reputation, but good for the soul. In the family I grew up in, love and care look like making sure that your children had things that you did not have. It looked like making sure that your children wanted for nothing that you had the capacity to provide for them. Love and care looked like making sure you got up every morning and went to the job that God had provided for you, that you did your best and that you brought home whatever resources were needed to make sure that your children had a roof over their head, food on their table, and clothes on their back. Love and care. My daddy worked. Let me tell you, I'm gonna be real with you. My daddy worked to death. But I took that as a dad and said, I know what I got to do. And so, and hear me, everything I did with my family in mind. And everything I didn't do it because I thought about the consequences that it would have, not just to me, but to my wife and my children. Why? Because I took seriously my responsibility as a child or as a father to love and to care. Now, I'm going to give you a sneak peek right here. I didn't do that all the way correctly. And it's because of what I just said. The model I was following, as loving as the model was, as caring as the model was, had some flaws. So watch. When I was growing up, I knew, understand, went through 4 years of college and never had to take a loan, had an apartment off campus where I had no rent to pay and the refrigerator was full and I didn't pay for that either, had a car that I bought for $1,000, but never saw an insurance bill. Why? Because my mom and my daddy worked. But I can count on one hand the number of track meets I ran in that my daddy came to. I can count on one hand the number of assemblies that I presented at that he was able to make. I can count on one hand the number of football games that he was able to attend. I remember as a grown man getting into the things that I do in the community, and I would run into someone who knew my father, who was an educator here in Newcastle County, and they would say, your dad was a great man. And I say, absolutely. And I remember that he did this, that, or this other thing, and I would say, wow. So that's where he was. And so in my zeal to make sure that I was doing what I needed to do, I need you to hear what I did not do. I wasn't as present as I could have been. And the expectation that I had was that they would understand,
because daddy got to work. How you think you got that cell phone? Daddy got to work. How you think Christmas looks the way Christmas looks? Daddy got to work. How do you think that I am supposed to be able to make sure that these things are there? But let me say this to every daddy who's got a child. They don't care about that. They would rather eat beans from a can with daddy at the table than to eat steak and potatoes with daddy being absent. You've got to be present. And present isn't stuff. See, we live in a culture that tells me that I need to search out the next opportunity, whether it's a job or a degree. I need to search out the next big and great thing, because as soon as I can get this business off the ground, my whole family can have the come up. But your children are there saying, I would rather have daddy's presence and time. First responsibility, love and care for your children. But loving and caring for your children looks different for us as believers than culture tells us that it does. Second responsibility, discipline your children. Now, real talk, most daddies ain't got no problem with this one right here, right? Most daddies, you are, I'll be honest, I got to the point in our growing as parents and my relationship with my wife that at one point I had to look at her and say, why I always got to be the bad guy? Because watch what happens, and I'm just going to tell the truth, shame the devil. There were times when I would come in and I'd have to look at my wife and I'd say, are they scared of me? I'm a nice guy, though. I'm full of fun and giggles. Are they scared? It's like, so I'm sitting in the room, and you're sitting, one of my children is sitting in the room with me, and they want a popsicle. And mommy's at work. They will get on the phone and call mommy and then come in the room with a popsicle. And so daddy says, who told you to have a popsicle? And they say, mommy. And so I'm short of getting ready to go walk around the house looking for mommy, because surely mommy. So where's my, I call mommy at work. So let me get this straight. I'm sitting right here. We watching the same show. But you left the room to go, and they said yes because I thought you were going to say no. The Bible is filled with examples of why it's important for us to discipline our children. And I think the reason that this word gets a bad rap is because, again, just like love and care, we don't have a right definition of what discipline is. And so I need you to understand that when we talk about discipline in the biblical sense of the word, what we're talking about is righting behavior. ing behavior. Meaning, when I watch someone, Pastor, can you stand up? Okay, sit down. I'm sorry. Brother Walter, can you stand up? All right. Come here, please. Okay. No, yeah. I know. I almost called my son, so I could. Okay. So I want you to stand here in the middle, right? And the goal is to walk straight to the center of that door, but I don't want you to walk in a straight line. I want you to start to veer off to the right.
as you go, all right? Okay, start walking. So he's walking. Here's what discipline is biblically. Discipline is when you're getting off track, this is what happens. Discipline is when you're getting off track. That's the definition biblically of discipline. Stop. Right? What we believe discipline to be is, now start veering off to the right again. When you get off track, it's not about righting your behavior, making sure, why? Because I know something's over here that I don't want you to come into contact with because it may be harmful to you. So what I am doing is I am putting guardrails in place by what I say to you or the way I interact with you to make sure that what I know is not good for you does not touch you. Thank you. But what we have come to understand discipline to be is that I have to be harsh with you. And discipline is never meant to be harsh. Discipline is always meant to be corrective. Why? Because discipline comes from love. See, y'all, watch. I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna show you how discipline has to be attached to love. Have you ever watched anybody you don't know doing crazy stuff and you just said, Right? Turn the other way and kept going. Tell the truth. Right? Or you watch somebody's kids doing some stuff that is just like, and you said, boy, they better be glad they ain't my kids. Right? You know why? Because if they were yours, you care about them. And so if you saw them doing that, whether you believe it, and this is where we get discipline wrong, where discipline should come from is, I care too much about you to let you go that way. The harsh discipline says, you're not going to embarrass me. Watch, that's not love. I just made that about me. That's discipline that comes from selfishness. And so now I'm harsh. Why? Because I have my reputation on the line. I'm not concerned. You watch, what I'm saying to you as a child is, you could kill yourself if it wasn't for me. But you ain't going to go out here in these streets with your name being Meredith Griffin and mess me up. So you're going to take this. No, discipline means that I love you and I know that there's a path for you. And so I am doing everything in my power to ensure that you stay on that path. And discipline is progressive only to the point or to the extent that is necessary to make sure that you don't stray from the path. So if you can stand up one more time, Brother Walter. Now I need you this time, as you're walking and I'm trying to guide you to fight against this. Don't hurt me. Right? So the more he pushes, the more I have to push. Why? Because as a parent, I'm determined that you're not going to go that way. Why? Because except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. So there's some parents who, let's be honest, he gonna go there and I'm gonna do like this. Yep, and I'm like, hey, you gonna learn today. Right? You gonna learn today? Okay. Look, I told you once, now clearly I guess you gonna learn it. Touch it, go ahead, touch it. Touch it. I told you twice it was fire. Go ahead, stick your hand in there one good time. And you wonder why the people at your house talking about whether or not your children need to be living someplace else. So we have the responsibility to love and care for our children. We have the responsibility to discipline our children. Lastly, we have the responsibility to instruct our children. I think too often, hear me, and y'all, I'm a pastor standing in a pulpit on Sunday morning, we abdicate too much of our responsibility as the instructors of our children to an education system and to Christian education. Right? Our children's ministry does a stellar job. A stellar job in the zone, giving our young people, our elementary age children, the fundamentals of the faith of Jesus Christ. Hear me. That still does not relieve you as parents of your responsibility. Right? Y'all don't believe me. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 9. It says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 6 and verse number 7. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 20. When your son asks you in the time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out of there that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. Deuteronomy 11th chapter, verse number 18, it says there, you shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. We are supposed to teach our children. And hear me, and it doesn't stop, it evolves. I find myself having conversations now with my children that are grown folk conversations. Why? Because I want them to know things that I didn't know at 19 through the eyes of a 52-year-old. I want them to understand things differently. Why? Because my ultimate desire is that they would be better than I am. That they would advance farther than I have. And if they don't, it won't be because of ignorance or lack of opportunity to gain the information and the knowledge, because I still want to teach them. So those are the responsibilities. What are the returns of fatherhood? Give these and I'm going to be out your way. The first one is to be honored by your children. Amen. Amen. Y'all ain't say amen fast enough. Some of y'all still waiting on that, right? I said that so you would laugh, but it was tongue in cheek. And here's what I mean by that. The older I get, the smarter my daddy becomes. Right? The older I get, the smarter my daddy becomes. When I was 16, dude knew nothing. I was surprised he could tie his shoes. Right? Everything my dad said to me, I was like, come on, you just old, dude. You don't even understand. I understand that's how they did it back in the 50s and the 60s, but come on, this is the 80s, and now my kids are like the 80s. This is the 80s. But the older I get, the more wise I understand him to have been. Because he was telling me things that in my youth I had no understanding. And so now, watch, I honor him. Because I understand what he had to sacrifice to be my daddy. I honor him.
Because I understand what he was trying to impart in me whenever we had one-on-one conversations. I honor him. So if you still waiting, keep waiting. Some come earlier, some come later. But if you are doing what you are charged to do as a parent, I guarantee you that the time will come when you will be honored by your children. And whether it's a vocal honoring where they come and say, "Daddy, I'm so glad that you poured into me everything you poured into me," or watch this, if it's from afar as you watch them with their children. And you say, "Oh, Shawty actually got it. Never said to me they knew what I was saying, but I'm watching you do the same thing that I did with you. You actually got it." One of the rewards is that we're honored by our children. Another one of the returns of fatherhood is that we are obeyed by our children. Amen.
Amen.
Some of y'all still waiting on that one too, right? It's important. Read the book of Proverbs. The father in Proverbs speaking to a son, talking about the importance of being obedient. I would go back and just tell you to remember the example that we just used. Obedience is important for that reason alone. Parents know what you don't know.
That's right.
And are trying to keep you from what they see that you can't see. Go back to what I said about being present. If I'm present, it's easier to get to that obedience. Why? Because relationship is different. It's a relationship built on me being able to see and experience your love and care. Understand, a child does not know that you not here because you out paying the mortgage. What's the mortgage? I'll never forget being somewhere and one of our kids asking for something, and we said, "You know, we can't do that." And their response was, "Well, can't you just pull that card out that's in your pocket and..." You know, that magic card. I had to look and say, "Well, here's a teaching moment. That card is a debit card. It's actually tied to my bank account." What's a bank account? I'm glad you asked. A bank account is how you eat. It's the place that when daddy goes to work, they actually put money in. So that card is not money. That card only represents the money that's in daddy's bank account. So the fact that daddy said we can't means there ain't no money in daddy's bank account. I'm going to get y'all out of here. Here's the last thing. Point number three. And this is one point, and it's all going to be on the screen. The ultimate reward of fatherhood. So we've talked about the responsibilities. We've talked about the returns. Here is the reward. The ultimate reward of fatherhood is to see your children grow and flourish.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. No, listen, men, if you are here today, ladies, if you are here today, and you have not yet been blessed by the Lord to experience what it is to be a parent, either mother or father, I stand as a witness, and I'm sure I'm in a room of witnesses. It changes your life. The person you were, you will never be again. That little being with those fingers that you just love to touch. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Those little hands that when they touch... Has anybody ever been touched by a baby and not smiled? I'm just saying. And when a baby smiles at you, you just feel like you the cutest thing in the world. Not the baby, you the cutest thing in the world. They change your life. I've watched selfish people become selfless when they became parents. Now, it doesn't happen for everybody, but I've watched it happen. I've watched people change their entire plans for their life when they became parents. Because all of a sudden, it's no longer about me. And I can tell you, as a married person who has gotten to this point with children, in many ways, it's not about us until they begin to leave. All of a sudden, it went from being me to we to us. And then it goes back from being us to we, because we want to see them grow and flourish. If I could leave you with one thing today, just one thing, be present. Be present. Nobody's saying quit your job, but ask yourself, what do I need to do to make sure that I am making the right sacrifices? Jobs come and go. Children are a blessing from the Lord. They want us to be present. And hear me, the blessing. I told you I wasn't always I'd spent 7 years chasing a degree that now I ask myself, why did I do that? And I missed a lot of opportunities in there. But you know what God does? God redeems the time. So while I wasn't there then, I'm there fully now. And we have different conversations. Yeah, I didn't have a conversation with a 7-year-old, but you know what? Probably good thing that I didn't. Now I get to have a conversation with the 19 and the 23-year-old. So stop lamenting what happened and stand in the grace of what can happen. I'm going to ask everybody to stand on your feet. I'm done.